from you, the Lamb of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Risen, ascended, glorified. Risen, ascended, glorified.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text, all three, please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the gospel reading today, we see or we get a foretaste of what will happen on the last day as we see what happens with the two criminals that are crucified on each side of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that Malachi, the people of Israel of old, wondered when they would see with their eyes the distinction. Did you catch it? What distinction? Between the believer and the unbeliever, the righteous and the unrighteous. When will it take place? God promised through Malachi that it would happen. And now at Calvary, when Jesus dies on the cross, you get a foretaste of what it will be like then on Judgment Day when all is revealed to everyone. You have two criminals crucified on each side of the Lord, and both have been condemned of crimes worthy of capital punishment. Both are dying a slow, excruciating death. And between them both is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead. And he will make a judgment hanging on the cross. Listen, watch how it works. Because if you walked by watching all these men being crucified that day, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart. I'm talking about the one on Jesus' left, the one on his right. Except, of course, when the two of them can muster enough energy to talk. Oh, and then you will find out what's going on here, namely in their heart. One of them mockingly calls out to Jesus and says, "Hey man, aren't you the Messiah? You claim to be. Well, if you are, why don't you get on with it? Get your messianic salvational show into gear. Save yourself and save us." Well, that sounds like faith, but it isn't. Begging Jesus to do what? Save himself? Huh? He's got it all wrong. Jesus does not save himself. Jesus is there to save sinners. And the only way, and I mean it, are you listening? The only way that Jesus saves sinners is by staying put on the cross and dying for them and shedding his blood as the only atoning sacrifice for all sin and every sinner. Jesus will stay put. Why? Because he justifies who? The ungodly. Who does he redeem? The irredeemable. Who does he save? The unsavable. Notice then how the other criminal talks. It's not mockery. His talk is faith talk. He confesses his sinfulness. How about that one? He knows that he deserves his sentence of crucifixion, that it's just. Hanging by crucifixion is indeed the just reward for his criminal deeds. What he did, we don't know, but it deserved death. But he also confesses something else. Did you catch it in the text? He confesses our Lord's innocence. He says, "This man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong." And after hearing Jesus pray, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," the criminal prays. And to whom does he pray? Jesus. Because Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. In the middle of both of them. Yes, faith prays. And how does faith pray? "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Did you notice that the criminal does not ask that Jesus will spare him the death sentence? I would have. He doesn't. Did you notice that the criminal doesn't ask Jesus to spare him from all the pain of the cross? I would have, but he doesn't. All this criminal wants is to be remembered by the dying king right next to him. To be remembered in this way. That Jesus was dying for him. That Jesus was not only answering for the sin of the world, but even for his. And that, of course, is when Savior King Jesus preaches the biggie salvational promise. He speaks to this criminal who praised him in faith. Today, you will be with me in paradise. In other words, Jesus tells this man, yep, that's right, Mr. Criminal, I'm here and I'm dying for you. And as you believe, so you have paradise, eternal life, salvation. Jesus, in other words, is saying to the man, I justify sinners by faith. Faith in me who dies for them. Both criminals died that day, and only one died with the promise of paradise, with salvation. The other didn't. That's the difference. If any of you who are like the unbelieving criminal from the cross, boy, it's time for you to repent of that, and it's time for you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's time for you to pray, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I can't be any more serious than that, because if Jesus doesn't speak his promise, today you will be with me in paradise, you're a goner. It will be eternally hellacious for you. So the difference between the two criminals, one believes, the other doesn't. And what matters the most is that Jesus makes the promise of salvation to the one who believed in him. Today you will be with me in paradise. Brothers and sisters, Jesus makes that same promise to you today. To you who trust in him with all of your sin and even with your death. His promise to you today is the same. Today, you will be with me in paradise. This is his promise to all of you whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the promise that Jesus makes to all of you to whom he has given you his divine and saving name in holy baptism. Today, all of you, this promise of Jesus is for you when you come and eat his body and blood, which he says is given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Yes, brothers and sisters, what Jesus Good Fridayly did for you has cosmic implications. St. Paul in Colossians and also in his letter to the Ephesians, he talks about that. Now, why do I make a big deal about this? Here's why. It's because we tend to think only in one way. What's that? Only in personal words. Like, Jesus is my what? My what? My personal Savior. Now, that's true. Don't misunderstand me. But it's much, much more than that. Listen to how Paul talks in the Colossians reading for today. Jesus, he is much larger than being personal Savior. Oh, yes, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness into his kingdom. Yes, in Christ we have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins by his blood. But to appreciate this fully, and I want you to do that today, I want you to appreciate this fully, the cosmic implications of our Lord's death, and grasp what it means as we are getting near to the end of time and the last day. We need to understand who this Jesus is and what he's done. Paul says in the epistle that Jesus is who? He is the invisible God. That Jesus makes God visible and known. You remember in the Old Testament, if you've read the Old Testament, you remember that you couldn't depict who? God. God alone could only image himself. And what does he do? He does it by sending his son Jesus Christ into our flesh. Jesus is the exact image of God. In other words, he is God himself in the flesh. If you want to see the face of God, who do you look to see? The face of Jesus Christ himself, hanging on the cross, dying for you. That's the kind of God you have. Jesus is the Word through whom and for whom all things are made. Everything that exists owes its existence to Jesus Christ. In Jesus, all things hold together. If you take away Jesus, everything would cease to exist. Do you realize that? You see the cosmic implications? Paul says it in the text in Colossians. That everything holds together in Christ. If Christ ceased to exist, all things would cease to exist. Colossians says that Jesus is the head of the church. He is the groom for his bride who was taken from his side as he slept the deep sleep of death on the cross. Jesus, Colossians says, is the firstborn from the dead, the first fruits of the resurrection, of which there is more to come, namely your resurrection from the dead. As he was the head of the old creation, so he is also the head of a new creation that comes with his resurrection and yours that will come on the last day. You are baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. And because Jesus rose for you, so you too will rise from the dead. And Colossians says that in Christ the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. In other words, the infinite and the holy God took up finite human flesh and dwelt among us. And the purpose of his dwelling among us in the flesh was to do what? Was to reconcile, as the Colossians text says, to reconcile all things to God the Father in heaven and on earth. Yes, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. The death of Jesus, the blood of his cross, reconciles all things and everyone, including thieves on their crosses and sinners like you and me and a whole world full of sinners that we encounter every day in our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ reconciles everything, I mean it, everything by his blood. He makes peace where there is no peace. He cancels the charges of the law against all of us. And Paul says this in Romans 8, you remember, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, you, brothers and sisters, are baptized into Christ Jesus. If you're not, you should be. You should make plans for that and talk to me about it. You, the baptized, are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a treasured possession of God, reconciled by the blood of Jesus, his son. That, brothers and sisters, is how you will meet Jesus on the last day. This is how you will meet Jesus on your last day. Wink, wink, what am I talking about? When you die, you will meet him how? As a justified sinner by his shed blood on the cross. Until then, now you live under Christ in his kingdom and you serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. His righteousness, his innocence, his blessedness. So I beg you, brothers and sisters, remember this as you recall your baptism and live in and from it. As you confess your sinfulness, as you come to the Lord's Supper today to receive forgiveness of sins and the gift of life and salvation with his body and blood. And now I want you to really listen carefully. One more sentence and I'm going to shut up. As you come to the Lord's Supper today, as you remember him, remember? As often as you do this in remembrance of me, remember? He remembers you in his kingdom. Today he is with you and for you as God for you. And soon, whether it's your death or whether it's the last day, you will be with him in paradise. What joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.